Today on Real Radio.
This is predominantly talking about, of course, the non-believer. We know what it's like to be a non-believer. I want to talk about the Christian, which is what we've been talking about tonight. The hardening of the heart. When the Christian backslides away, often their heart becomes hardened. And you can hear it. You can hear it happen in their life. Hey, how you doing? All right. You can hear it in the tone. Hey, you know what? I want to give you this verse. Yeah, that's great. Thanks. You can hear it happen.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through Paul's letter to the Ephesians chapter 4. The section of the passage we're now dealing with helps us to understand one of life's most important questions, at least to the professing believer in Jesus. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs in a presentation that asks the question, are you really a Christian?
For we are his poema. The word is workmanship. We're his song. We're his vase that he's making, created in Christ Jesus for good works which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Verse 11 says, therefore remember, that's our conduct or our condition, excuse me, remember that you once were Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcised by what is called the circumcision made in the flesh by hands, that at the time you were without Christ, that was us, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers to the covenant of promises, having no hope and without God in the world. That's where we used to be. Maybe that's where some of you are at. Now listen to our new condition. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off, hey God, you know, have been brought near by the blood of Christ, for he himself is our peace. He literally is our peace. So the point is that if we've been created by him, we're his workmanship. We're his song that he's writing. Then we are to lay on that sheet for the orchestration of it all, stay on the wheel as he spins it around, as he molds and shapes. It's God's business. He's doing it in our lives. He's doing it right now. And for those of us who think he's not doing anything at all, he's probably doing it to us the most. I know in my own life some weird things are going on. And I thought this day about Peter and why he was saying these things, and then I asked, Lord, help me to get into his skin to try to get into Paul's skin and see what he was thinking and feeling. And I had a really bizarre revelation to my heart today. Maybe that's why I'm just such a kind of a mess. But you know what? This is kind of heavy for me. I had to stop studying, and I put on a Fernando Ortega tape, a CD, and Marty Goetz. Because I got all moody on me. And I was thinking about Paul's heart. How he is, with passion, in these three verses, articulating to a group of people that he loves at the church at Ephesus, and he's saying, don't walk in the way of the Gentiles, and don't go back there. And you might think, maybe, you might think that Paul is pretty removed from them. He's the world, he's a globetrotter, he's all over the place, he's been to so many churches. How could he care about little us in Ephesus? And you know what? I would have to agree with you. Until God calls you into what I can only speak from experience, and that is a senior pastor's position. I've told you before, I didn't ask for it, I didn't desire it, and I'm not saying that to put it down. There's just better men that are able to do it. But this thing I know, that God called me to do it. I know that. I could take a bullet regarding that. I cannot deny it. I know it as a fact. I can never deny that God called me to do what I'm doing. And today in preparing this, asking, Lord, put me into Paul's heart and Paul's sandals and Paul's robe so I can know what he's thinking and feeling. It was awesome what the Lord was sharing with my own heart. Is you're the man. I don't have to talk about Paul, Jack. I want to talk about you in Chino Hills. And this is what I felt the Lord saying to me. What would you do if somebody you knows, somebody that you know in the flock goes into the world? How do you feel? And I had to instantly respond, I feel sick. I may not even know their name, but I know their face, and I feel sick. Makes me want to cry. Sometimes I do. Makes me mad. And not only is it true for here, I think of the precious Christians in Russia that we know or in Germany that we know, and I get upset to think. And this is what the Lord revealed in my own heart. Think about yourself with your precious love. Whoever that person might be in your life. And you're dedicated to them. And think about them walking out and departing from Christ and going back into the world. How would you feel about that? Wouldn't you crawl on glass to get them back? What would you do? Would you travel land and sea? How important is it to you? I got to tell you, before I became a pastor, it was pretty localized in my life. And I got to tell you, it's an awesome thing, and I'm speaking about Paul's life, and I can tell you about my own heart because it's a work of God, that it's in my heart that if somebody falls away, I get sick to my heart, I get sick to my stomach, I get sick to my mind because I'm tormented. What's happened to them? Where are they? Where are they right now at this hour? Whose arms are they in? You see? And if it affects us as true pastors of the Word and of the Lord, how does it affect Jesus? He gave his life for you. Well, I want to do my own thing. Come on, just a little fling, just a little moment, just a little. I'm going to go get drunk. I'm going to check out. I got to just bring some ease to my mind. I'm so burdened. What about Jesus? For us, it takes this gross thing where the one that you love would be in the arms of another. What about Jesus when it's just our thoughts that hurt him? He's so with us. And the part that kills you is that you know this person's a Christian. They might have lost sight of that. And they fall away, and then you know that they'll, Lord willing, come back. And here's the difficult thing. You know that the pain they'll have. You know about the pain that they'll have when they come back. You know that their lives will never quite be the same because they went back and walked with the world again. That their thought life will forever be tormented with guilt or shame. And you know that sometimes they don't make it back. I had a precious friend. His name was Don. His name was Don George, actually. And he was the greatest guy, and he was the most encouraging, absolute surf bum, but just the most encouraging guy you've ever wanted to know in your life. Just the greatest. And you know what? None of us knew this, but he had a severe problem. He was 19 years old. I was a whopping 20, and or 21, and he was 19, and he had a severe alcoholic problem. And none of us knew it. And he gave up one day. He was tired of fighting. And he went out and he got plastered, and he was radically killed in his pickup truck in a telephone pole on PCH, Pacific Coast Highway. And it was an amazing thing because all of us guys came together and we cried and we got together and prayed. And we all knew that Jesus loved him so much. And Don was so struggling with all of these things. He loved the Lord. And the Lord took him home. If you have a hard time with that, read 2 Corinthians. Paul talks about that. He took his body home to spare his soul. Sometimes Christians don't make it back from their excursion into the world. But one thing I know, and one thing you know, if you're a Christian, when you've gone back into the world to play with it and to embrace it, and shall you, as the scriptures declare, take and embrace fire and not be burned? Some Christians have gone back and they've made it back to the fold. And there is in their life, what, a glaze, a depression. You can look at somebody, have you ever known a Christian who shines so much for Jesus that when something has happened, it's as though a light bulb is gone from their face and you know something happened. And they never quite shine again. And that breaks your heart. And those things ought not to be. He says in verse 18, having their understanding darkened, the light bulb goes out, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardening of their heart. The word hardening here is the word in the Greek poros. It's the name of a stone. It's harder than marble. It's not a very prevalent stone. It's so incredibly hard, you can break anything, almost anything on it. It speaks of that poros stone. The word in the Greek is porosis. And what happens? Their hearts become porosis, harder than stone. This is predominantly talking about, of course, the non-believer. We know what it's like to be a non-believer. I want to talk about the Christian, which is what we've been talking about tonight. The hardening of the heart. When the Christian backslides away, often their heart becomes hardened. And you can hear it. You can hear it happening in their life. Hey, how you doing? All right. You can hear it in the tone. Hey, are you okay? Yeah, I'm fine. Hey, you know what? I want to give you this verse. Yeah, that's great. Thanks. You can hear it happening. Your heart is hardening. Poros. It once was fleshy and soft, and as God says in Ezekiel, I want to take out of your chest that heart of stone and put in your chest a heart of flesh that it beats and is sensitive again and is toward me. But when we backslide away, we're not walking with him anymore, there's this hardening of the heart that takes place, and God doesn't excite you anymore, and neither does serving the Lord and worshiping God, and you just begin to go through the motions, and you can't encourage them anymore. They go from that place to a nothingness. They're just in limbo land. And then from there, they begin to walk back into the world. They backslide. But watch what happens. In verse 19, it says, who being past feeling? You see the words being past feeling? We have to write three English words to cover one Greek word. The word in the Greek is apathetic. being past feeling. They just don't care. Hey, come on. No, that's all right. Hey, look at this. That guy's bleeding to death. That's his problem. Apathetic. A storm that rushes against our soul to rob us from our zeal with the Lord. When the waves begin to crush so long, so hard, and we take our eyes off of Jesus that we wind up almost walking into a spiritual suicide. Let's just go. Let's just give up. Have you ever been there? I almost drowned in Lake Arrowhead on a midnight, moonless night. It was so dark, you could just see the stars, and it was so bizarre because the stars reflected off the water, and a bunch of us had swam so far out on the lake, we're so stupid. And then, we're too far out. And it was really gross because the bats kept swooping down. They hear the motion of the water, right? Because the trout would be feeding off the mosquitoes, so the bats come down and eat the mosquitoes as well, and they compete against the food chain there. And so when you're moving, the bats come, and they're like, oh, so you're wasting your energy shushing those guys away while you're trying to swim. And I remember saying, hey, forget you guys, I can't make it, I'm turning back. And that was a mistake, because little did I know I was further across than I thought, and I turned back, and I went the long way home, and I nearly died. I remember being so tired that I said to myself, I'm just going to take a big breath, and I'm just going to rest a minute. And it was pitch black dark, and I closed my eyes, and you're just, oh, my shoulders hurt so bad. Oh, this feels so good. Okay, I'm going to get some more air now. And all of a sudden, I remember going like this, and it was pitch black. And I remember opening my eyes underwater to try to blow bubbles out to see which way was up. I was so scared. I was so scared. I have never been that scared in my life. And I don't know how I got to the surface, and I don't know how I got to the shore, but I remember the next day I woke up, and I could not hardly breathe. My chest was so bruised from my lungs, gasping for air. I couldn't believe it. I remember I stayed in the cabin that whole day. I didn't know Jesus, I would have gone to hell. I'll tell you that. You just give up. Oh, I don't care anymore. You're so tired. And there's Christians that are going to go down that path. It could be me. It could be you. And Brett, I'm going to need you to pull me up. And Rusty, I'll need you, or you'll need me, or Tina, or Amy, or Kevin, or any one of us. We're going to need each other. We'll care for each other. But we have to be careful that we don't become apathetic, and then we fall into this state. We'll be done here with this. In 1 Timothy 4, verse 2, Paul told Timothy that there are those whose conscience, because they sin, they start out and they just sin, and they just do it again and again and again until their conscience have been seared with a hot iron. Don't try this at home. Don't ever try it anywhere. But take a hot iron, and if you were to sear your skin, if you were to burn your skin, in fact, if you have any scars, take your finger and rub your finger on that scar, and you don't feel very much, do you? If you take a hot iron and you put it on your arm and you let that heal up and run your finger across it, you'll hardly feel a thing. The danger is your heart can be so burned by sin that you can't feel anymore, and you just give up. And so he warns us that the final end is walking in licentiousness. That's all kind of lewd living, sexual freedom and liberties, drunkenness, partying. Oh, yeah, it's so good. We had the greatest time. That's a bunch of baloney. Oh, it was so great. Wasn't it great? Tell him it was great. Oh, yeah, it was great. Lying. Working all uncleanness with greediness. Reverse growth. So backsliding away. I got to tell you, this church is growing faster than we ever expected, and thank God we're at a place now where we don't think we can grow anymore. It's that 80% law, you know, where the sanctuary, if it's 80% filled, the rule is you won't grow anymore. And on Sundays, each service is over 80% filled or at 80. So it's good that it can't grow anymore for now. Because you know what? I'm really upset because I can't care for all of you the way I'd like to. So then I have to say, Jesus, just do your thing. You're the one that died for them anyway. It's your church, Lord. Because if I could, I'd be everywhere. Whenever you call, I'd be there. That's my heart. It's my heart's desire. I love it. I love it. The same passion that drives me on to do this thing is the same passion that causes me to go into severe depression when somebody goes back into the world. And you might say, well, are you like making this up? I'm not making it up. It's not human. It's given by God. It just comes with the territory. It's really trippy. And so if I know that somebody's gone back into the world, I'm going to make every effort to go find them. It's my calling. And it's a weird thing. It's a weird thing that pastors, I think, sleep at all. Because there's so much work to do. But even if there wasn't, how do you sleep at night when there's so many concerns on your heart? And I know about it. It's a weird deal. God is so good. Because he carries all of our loads. We're all a bunch of little weaklings. And we need him.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a presentation called, Are You Really a Christian? Arguably one of life's most challenging questions, especially to the professing believer. Our study is taken from Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 4, and of course other biblical passages that cause us to face that challenge. We'll continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, February is coming up, and we've told you about the Southern California Bible Prophecy Conference that takes place then here at Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, and maybe you've thought, well, I'd love to go, but times are a bit tough all around. Well, before you make your decision based on finances, listen to this.
Hi, this is Pastor Jack Hibbs of Real Radio, and we will be hosting our second annual Southern California Prophecy Conference on February 20th, 21st, and 22nd. The price has been advertised as $50 per person, but in light of the recent events that are taking place around the world and the current economic crisis, we've prayed about it here at Calvary Chapel, and we are deleting the price of this conference. It is free. It's open to the public. Seating is limited to 3,000 people, but we want everyone to come. So I'm going to ask you to take advantage of this amazing opportunity to hear world-class speakers. Listen, my friend, you are going to need what this conference has to give you. So once again, the conference cost has been completely deleted. There's no registration fee required. You just need to be here at what will be the premier prophecy conference of 2009. You can get more information by going to SoCalProphecyConference.com. SoCalProphecyConference.com. God bless you. We'll see you right here.
Okay, well, you can visit SoCalProphecyConference.com, SoCalProphecyConference.com, or give us a call toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.